Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. This week I'm kind of roughing it. I am just holding my phone and I'm just speaking into my phone. This episode is going to be about grieving someone who is still alive. I am currently moving through a very, very excruciating and difficult heartbreak. And it's interesting because I feel so many different things simultaneously, but I mainly feel this heavy feeling in my chest. I feel this all-consuming sadness. I wouldn't personally call it depression for myself, but I feel this all-consuming sadness, and I can feel a hole in my heart, and I crave this person. I crave my partner, and I miss him in a way that I can't even put into words, but it felt really important for me to record this for myself so that I can listen back to it, but for anyone else who is going through heartbreak, for anyone else who is experiencing immense loss, but particularly for those of us that are grieving someone who is still very much alive. And this could be a friend, this could be a family member, this could be a lover, this could be a partner. And I'm recording this quite early in the morning, so that's why my voice is is on the raspy side, but I like it. I like it. And you know what? I feel that with this podcast, I'm able to do something really special. I'm able to put forward ideas and thoughts in real time. I'm able to share my intellectual property. I'm able to give more of myself personally in a way that feels good and true to me, because I'm not someone that shares my personal life in real time. It's usually from a place of, it's usually from a place of having moved past the thing that I'm talking about. It's usually from a place of having some kind of solution that I've found to work and I want to put it forward so that it can be useful for other people. But I'm finding so much value in sharing certain things in real time. And this is something that I'm experiencing right now. So in this short episode, I just wanted to share that with you and to also document this process for myself. So I also won't be sharing too much details around the actual breakup in itself, because I don't think that's necessary for right now. And I really love and respect this man, and I respect and honor his privacy as well. So the only thing that I can do is just to speak from my own experiences without bringing him into it in a way that might be crossing some kind of line. But I've spoken about him in a few episodes, in a few of the more recent episodes, and maybe once dating back to the past year, because we had been together for a year. And I have never experienced love like this before. I have never been loved so deeply in a romantic relationship, and I had never loved so deeply myself. And I'm sure I've said this in the past, but every relationship that I've been with has taught me so much. I'm so lucky that I have just been with the most incredible, incredible men. And even when things didn't work out for whatever reason, they are still people that I have in my life to some degree. They are people that I immensely respect and I'm inspired by. They are people that allowed me to further step into vulnerability and into fully expressing myself, into stepping into my softness without feeling like it makes me weak in some kind of way. So every single relationship has taught me something. Even my platonic relationships have also taught me a lot, but my romantic relationships have revealed so much about me to me. And in the last episode, I was talking about reintroductions. Every relationship I've been in has been an immense and such a beautiful reintroduction to myself, to those around me and to the world at large. And I'm so grateful for that. And this most recent relationship was so special, so special. And sometimes it's easier to move through a breakup or the end of a chapter when there's a clear good person, bad person. They did this or I did this, so it had to end. But with this situation, it's really not that clear cut. It's, I can't even put it into words because, you know, it's for him and I to know and to understand, but it's something most people would be like, wouldn't really understand unless I was to really sit there and explain it and try and explain the unexplainable. And, you know, sometimes with relationships, you realize that it can be a matter of the timing, which I firmly believe in. I do believe that the right person, wrong time is a very, very real thing. I do. And I genuinely believe that a lot of the time it can be a matter of both people working on themselves individually so that they can come back together stronger for each other. There are things that I know have to be worked through in a relationship with someone, things that can only be, things that can only take you to a place of true clarity when you work through it with your person. I completely understand that. And I think that's just the nature of relationships, right? You overcome certain things and you experience adversity and you experience hardship. You have conflict, but you repair and you resolve and you move on. I completely understand that. That is the baseline of relationships, right? And at the same time, I fully understand and also accept and honor that there are some things that have to be worked on individually so that neither of you feel like you're in a state of self-sacrificing, so that neither of you feel like you have to be in waiting for the other person, so that neither of you feel like there's a pressure for you to catch up with the other person, you know. So I think there can be areas of incompatibility that have to be addressed and that can require a separation, that can require some space, that can just require a firm breakup. And if it's truly supposed to be, you will find each other and you will make it work, right? When you're both ready to meet each other at the level that you both are. And for me and my ex, my most recent relationship, that's exactly what it was. And for that, you don't need the specific details, but that's what it was. There was an incompatibility in an area that required us to be separate so that individually we could work through it. And if it means we come back together stronger, then we do that. And if this space and time just highlights that this was not the right partnership, we do that and we accept it, you know. And all of this is easier said than done. It is so painful to physically, emotionally separate from the person that you have been with for a long time, even if it's been a short time, but you both have such, you have such a profound bond, such a deep connection, such a, my goodness, it's fucking hard. And yes, it sucks. It really does. It really does. There are so many wonderful things that are happening in my life right now, be it the book that I'm writing, projects that I'm working on, just the beautiful connections that I have with my friends and my family, etc., etc. And it's really fascinating being able to honor the beauty and joy that is happening in my life and also be dealing with this immense, just heavy, heavy separation. And I have been reading different things, listening to different resources. I'm very grateful to be in therapy again because at least I can have someone to speak to, a more objective party, which is very useful. I mean, my friends are super supportive and they're holding me up through this. And at the same time, I need a professional perspective. I need someone that doesn't have all of this historical context, someone that doesn't have a personal relationship with me, so their bias leans a certain way. So it's really, really useful. I'm very grateful for that. And one of the things that I've been very grateful to come across, actually, which is why I wanted to record this particular episode, is coming across the different stages of grief. And these stages are something many different thinkers, psychologists, organizations, etc., researchers came up with in relation to a death when someone is dying or when someone is ill. But these same stages can be used for a breakup to understand the stages, the emotional stages you will go through during a breakup. And this has been so useful for me to have the language for it and to understand it a little bit. So the stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. So I'll repeat those again before I go into the finer details. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. And before I define each of those and share with you how they've presented themselves for me, I really want to make it clear that grief and grieving someone who is still alive is a very personal thing. It's going to look so fucking different for all of us. And not just different, it's going to look different in every single moment, every single day. It's not linear in any way. You know, there isn't a universal approved process for any of this. It's not neat. It's messy. Even for the strongest of us, even for those of us that have all of the intellectual property, the information to know how to deal with it, we've dealt with it before, you have blueprints from a previous breakup, from a previous loss, from a previous friendship breakup, or whatever it might be, a lot of us, especially depending on how old you are, you already have the blueprint because you've experienced this before, you've experienced a pain like this before, that feeling of loss. That feeling of no longer having something that you loved, something that you appreciated, someone that you spoke to every single day, someone that you woke up with every single day, like my ex, which feels very bizarre to even call him that because he still very much feels like my person. He would make me a cup of tea every single morning if we were in the same house. We lived together, but when we were staying at the other person's house, he would make me a cup of tea every single morning. And even just the way that we would hold every morning and every evening and during the day, and the way we would look at each other and send each other things. And, you know, when I have moments of joy or something good happens, he's the first person that I want to share that with. And you know, so many of those little things and big things that remind you of your person, and it just gives you a very visceral and strong emotional response, a physical response, a spiritual response. I fucking get it. I get it. And I've experienced this before, but this feels very different because of the depths that I went to with this person, because of how much I opened myself up to him and how much he opened himself up to me. And this is someone that I thought I was going to marry and still want to marry. Someone that I thought I would have children with and still would. So I get it. I get it. It's very fucking difficult. So for me, it was very helpful to have it was very helpful to have the language and the understanding of the different things that I'm experiencing. And you know what, before experiencing denial, actually, as someone that initiated the breakup, before experiencing denial, I felt a sense of relief. I felt a sense of relief because this area of incompatibility is something that I thought that I could work through for myself. I thought it's something that I could just deal with myself, move on from it, and just be patient. But I soon realized that it was actually something that is a non-negotiable. I think in relationships, There will be areas where you have to compromise. There will be areas where you have to renegotiate certain things. There will be areas where you will be required to have more patience than you normally would. And I'm not talking about such extreme situations of abuse or manipulation or anything like that. I am talking just about a normal, healthy relationship that has its ups and downs and struggles, because people are, we're fucking human. A human being with another human or a few humans, you're gonna have to face certain things that you didn't want to, okay? So I understand those things. And at the same time, there are non-negotiables. You need to know what your values actually are. You need to know what it is that you require to be able to function in a relationship. What do you require to be able to be fully vulnerable and open in a relationship? What do you require so that you can really step into a state of being able to love someone so deeply, regardless of what you experience? So for me, the thing that came up, the block that was there, showed me that this was a non-negotiable for me. I thought that I could work through it, but I actually need this, especially with the time and the season of my life that I'm in right now. I needed this thing, and I needed my person to be this thing too. So I felt relief, because in initiating that breakup, my hope was that my person, he would understand. And it took us a while to get there, but he understood. These were things that he had seen for himself, just in a different way. But we were able to talk through it. We were able to get to a place of understanding. So I felt relief, because it allowed me to see that I hadn't just made this thing up. I wasn't sabotaging myself in the way that I'd done in the past. I would have been sabotaging myself if I didn't say anything. I would have been sabotaging myself if I made myself believe that this thing wasn't actually as important and vital as it actually is. And I felt relief. I felt a sense of freedom for both of us. I felt hope and excitement for the people that we were both going to become. There was still, it was still very hard. It was still very sad. It was still heartbreaking, but I felt that initial relief. Then soon after, I felt what is stated here as the official first stage of grief. And this was denial. And my denial was, have I fucked up? Have I actually sabotaged myself? What if I have it all wrong? What if I haven't been as patient? Maybe it wasn't that bad. You know, we had all of these other wonderful things, and all of these other areas of compatibility. Have I overreacted? There was a lot of, it's a good thing I know myself well enough. Like, I know myself. I trust myself so deeply. I will go into a state of self-inquiry where I ask myself, have I made the right decision? And how do I know that I've made the right decision? What is the evidence, etc., etc.? But on a deeply intuitive level, I fucking trust myself. So when this denial was coming up, I didn't go into a state of self-shaming. I didn't go into a state of guilt. I was just confronted with that soup of complex feelings and questions and emotions. And I was just watching it in real time, and it was very fucking hard. And, you know, this is also when a couple of weeks pass, a few weeks pass, and you haven't physically seen your person. I hadn't seen him. So I had that skin hunger, just wanting him to touch me, just wanting him to hold me, to make love to me, to fuck me, to just tell me everything is okay, to just take a walk with me, to do our daily stretches, and to just be us, you know. So there was that intensity of the physical separation, and denial kicked in. Denial really fucking kicked in. And we had actually initially broken up in January. And a few weeks passed, and again, that state of denial and hunger for each other, and did we do something wrong, etc. So we reconnected, and I truly believe that we reconnected prematurely, because we didn't have the space and time that we truly needed to springboard, which is what we called that time of separation. We needed to springboard so we could be better for ourselves, so that hopefully we could be better for each other if it was supposed to be. But we prematurely reconnected and didn't fully address everything that needed to be addressed, because we just fell back into each other. And we were in that falling for a couple of months up until up until 2 weeks ago now, where we had the final breakup, where we knew that this was actually the conclusion that we needed in the beginning, and that this is where you're really going to feel that sense of loss and grief, because you're not trying to hold on to this imagined reality. And that's what I'm experiencing now. So I had that denial, and I've had it a little bit now in these past 2 weeks, but it just feels a little bit different because I've been through it already in this relationship. And then the second stage is anger, just feeling angry at myself, angry at the situation. And I have felt this, but it hasn't been as intense because, again, I think us reconnecting prematurely, having that sense of hope, not addressing really what needed to be addressed, or at least delaying really addressing it, because we've fallen into each other, we're having sex again, we're being intimate again, we're, you know, future casting again in terms of, you know, me being his wife, him being my husband, us having children, the home that we would have, kind of future casting, dreaming out loud, all of the things that I wanted before and we used to do before, but now we were kind of doing them in a different way and still not addressing the things we really needed to address. So, and neither of us are to blame for that. I think it's a very normal thing to happen. Breakups are not, there is no prescription. There is no one and done. This is how you do it. And this is the only way. Only you and your person know. Only you and your person know what you need to do. And sometimes you need to experience that feeling of elation and excitement of getting back together and everything feels renewed, and then realizing that actually, no, it's still the same. We haven't even had enough time to work on ourselves. We haven't had enough time to look at the relationship objectively. We haven't had enough time because we're still fucking in it, you know? So there was a lot of anger around having have reconnected prematurely again and doing this to ourselves, breaking each other's hearts again. And then, you know, the bargaining came after that. Maybe if I just hang on a little bit longer, maybe if we go to couples therapy, which was my thought, maybe if we go to couples therapy, maybe if we do this, maybe if I just relax my standards a little bit, and not even expectations. I've said this before in previous episodes. I have high standards. Okay. I have standards that I will not shake, but I will adjust my expectations as I need to. I don't expect the same thing from every single person. I don't have unrealistic expectations, but I do have standards that are directly tied to my values and the way that I view myself and the world and the life that I'm willing to live and not live. So I will not betray my standards, but I will adjust my expectations. So I got into a mode of saying, okay, well, do I need to adjust my expectations in this way? And everything led me back to the answer that by me trying to bargain and justify and be in a state of anger and denial would mean that on some level, I would need to shrink myself to make it work right now. I would need to shave off parts of myself to make it work right now. And I will not do that because that is self-betrayal. It's not kind to me. It's not kind to him, because I will constantly be expecting him to be someone who he's not. I'll be expecting him to be at a place that he's not in. I'll be putting pressure, energetical pressure onto him, and I will not do that, you know. And then the next stage, depression. For me, it wasn't depression. It was more sadness. And that's the state that I'm in right now. Being hit by the reality of the loss, the reality of not waking up to my person, the reality of not being able to just text them whenever I want to, call whenever I want to, because that's also not fair, right? And me and my best friend Roxanne, who's also going through her own breakup, we were in Paris over the weekend, and it was such a beautiful, beautiful, relaxing, luxurious trip. And we really needed it, especially with what we're experiencing. And I remember at one point we were sitting in the sauna and we just had the most wonderful day, but it was also had parts of sadness because we're holding each other's hearts, but witnessing each other's bravery at the same time. Anyway, we were sitting in the sauna And then we decided that we were going to do this consensual exercise of just calling each other's bullshit out. So we turned and looked at each other and took turns to tell each other that it would be a selfish act to reach out to your person that you have initiated a breakup with when you know that they would come, that they would hold you, that they would kiss you, that they would come and pick you up, that they would step back in if you initiated that. If you initiated the reconnection is what I mean specifically. If I feel like I miss him so much and maybe it could work, I want him, I don't know, I just want him close. And then I text him and then I call him and then I reinitiate another reconnection. That is so selfish. It's not fair. It's not fair. Let the other person heal. Let the other person do what they need to do independent of you. And you do what you said you need to do independent of them. It's supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be easy. And trying to make any decision when you're in a state of confusion, not knowing if you're coming or going, did you make the right decision or did you not? That is not the right place to act from. You are not grounded. So her and I looked at each other, called our shit out. We were like, we went all in. And I was so grateful for that because now I have her voice in my head, my voice in my head. Anytime that I feel the urge to reach back out to say, maybe I had it all wrong. Let's go into therapy. I tell myself that that's actually a very selfish thing to do because I'm making it about me because I'm uncomfortable right now because I feel the pain right now, you know, and I just want to make it go away. No. It is not fair. Give it time. Give it space. It's supposed to be hard. It's called heartbreak for a reason. You're grieving. There is that sense of loss. It's a part of the process. And I know intellectually, we all fucking know this. I know this. I know this. But the heart forgets. The heart forgets. Okay, that bond that you have with someone, that chemical bond, the spiritual bond, the emotional bond, the mental bond, physical bond, it makes us forget. So sadness is the place that I'm in right now. But I'm trying to be really fucking strong because I know that the next stage will be acceptance. Acceptance where you start to feel hope again. And that sense of a new beginning and you have more clarity. Now you know how to actually move forward by yourself or with the person again, if that's also what they want, because you have to respect their own process. It's not about you. It is not about you. It is not about me. It is about all people involved. So it's not about what I want. It's about what is right. What is right for me, what is right for him, what is right for the relationship. And clearly we've been shown that space to grow individually so we can really step into who we need to become. That is what is right. And it's not going to feel as empowering and as liberating as it sounds. It's going to be fucking hard. And it's supposed to be. So that is where I am at right now, and I'm honoring that, and it feels so difficult. Some days I wake up and I feel so good and wonderful, and I feel like, yes, this was the right thing to do. It feels hard, but it doesn't feel that hard. Some days, like a couple of days ago, I was so consumed with sadness, and it was so, it was all-encompassing, and I had to call my best friend, cry to my best friend, and I cried myself to sleep. I haven't done that in a very long time, but it felt so good because it also showed me just how much I valued, still do value this relationship and this man, and gosh, the respect that I have for him and for us and this relationship and everything that we have experienced. And a big part of me truly believes that he is my person and we will find each other and we will make it work, you know. And I will also respect if we realize that actually we were supposed to experience each other for this year, for this past 12 months, and to allow it to be that, you know, to not force it to be anything more if it's not supposed to be. So I'm making peace with the different realities and not trying to control any of it. I just need to focus on writing my book. I just need to focus on living a life that is in integrity. I just need to focus on my health, my well-being, focus on the people around me, focus on nurturing my relationships, focus on becoming the me that I truly want to be. And I already feel like her now. There's nothing that is lacking from my life. There is absolutely nothing that is lacking from my life. You could take away everything, you know, whether it's my home, my finances, etc. And I will know how to rebuild because I trust myself. I trust myself and I love myself so fucking deeply. And above all, I respect myself. You know, it's taken me a lot and a long time to get to this point and to be this person. And I really do credit it to my sobriety and for me pushing through and allowing myself, gifting myself the gift of sobriety to even have this level of clarity and self-awareness and maturity and emotional intelligence. And yeah, there's nothing that is lacking. And right now I feel like I've lost a great love, a big love, but I know I haven't lost anything. I've gained so much, and it's not me trying to trick myself or bullshit myself. I've gained so much from this relationship. He showed me what I wanted. He showed me that I was capable and have the capacity to love so fucking deeply and to receive love so, 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 so deeply without holding back. I gave all of myself, you know, and I'm so grateful for that and so grateful to him and to us. And if we find each other again in this lifetime, then my fucking goodness. Ah, yeah. And if he's listening to this, if you're listening to this, I love you so much. And you know that. You know how much I love you. Yeah. So grieving someone who is still alive, it's fucking difficult. But you will move through it. You will move through it. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance, you will move through it. Be with it. Be with yourself. Okay? Yeah, I'll leave it there for now. Make sure you are following this podcast. And if anything resonates or you want to share anything, maybe you're also moving through heartbreak, feel free to email me hello@africabrooke.com, or you can send me a voice note on Instagram. I do take a while to respond to things because I do experience digital communication fatigue quite easily, but I do see everything and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the people that I have in my audience, the people that are listening, the people that continue to share. Do share this episode. Someone out there needs it. And I'm so glad that this is the very thing that I recorded today, and that this is the very thing that you are listening to today, whether you're experiencing heartbreak or not, whether you're grieving or not. I hope that something here is useful. And yeah, if you have anything you can share with me to help me while I'm in my own process, please feel free to share. I welcome it all. And I love you. And I'm right there with you on this and everything else. Okay. And I will speak to you in the next episode.